Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Pleased to be joined, as he does just about every Friday at 9 a.m. on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall & Capitis, by our good friend Michael McHenry. Good morning, Fort. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing good. And yourself?
We're fantastic. Excellent. Because we found out yesterday that on nights when the Penguins are playing on AT&T Sportsnet, it doesn't mean we have to miss out on you and Kinger. We just flip over to an alternate channel now. We can watch both.
That's right. We don't stop for nobody.
Well, the Pirates got one day off, but from here on out, 17 games in 17 days, they don't stop for anybody either. This is a team that very quickly, with this many games and this many days, it needs to get the bats awake. Hitting 174, I think, as a team, 170-something anyway. There have been a few bright spots here and there, you know, your Jose Osunas and Phil Evans and Colin Moran, certainly. But how do they get the big guns, the Newmans, the Reynolds, and the Bells going for it?
I think the consistency of those 17 games will be very, very big for these guys to get going. You know, certain guys, if they start certain ways, I mean, some guys have good springs, some guys have bad springs, and that, you know, short 2.0 maybe wasn't enough for certain guys. I really like what I've seen with Adam Frazier and Reynolds and a couple of these guys. It looks like they're coming into their own. So, you know, if they can just kind of progress that forward, I think you're going to see some guys get hot. And we all know hitting's contagious. So one or two guys, you know, like Bell or Frazier or Newman, really get going, I think it'll catch fire with everyone else.
And, Michael, Derek Shelton's in a weird – in fact, he talked about this, and I've run a soundbite to this effect, that, I mean, you're trying to walk that fine line where you need to get your regulars enough at-bats to get into some kind of a groove. At the same time, you want to get your bench players involved early to see what they can do. So what's it going to take? I mean, is he going to have to go back to make sure that the core five or six guys just are in the lineup every game for the next 3 or 4 days, 5 days, whatever, just to see if they can establish that consistency that you're talking about?
Yeah, I think that's really important. I mean, if you look at, you know, how other teams is kind of stacked up, when we played St. Louis, they had the same lineup every day except one guy. You know, Lane Thomas played on the last game there, but other than that, they kept the same lineup. That's how you're going to, you know, create consistency. Same thing with the Brewers. It was very consistent. You know, one or two guys played on the last day. You know, these guys will start to get in a rhythm. Shelton will start to find the guys to kind of plug in at times. You know, Cole Tucker's playing right field today because so-and-so is on the mound. They match up better. You know, Gonzalez is going to play third today. He'd rather have the defense upgrade today over Moran or whoever else would possibly play third base on that Airfield Evans. So just going to have to find that balance, who's hot, who's not, who needs a couple of days off, you know, kind of unplug them and then plug them back in, let them get their work in. I mean, these guys are young, they're constantly developing, and you just have to make sure you don't put them out there and let them drown, but at the same time, you don't want them to tread water. So you want to make sure when you can put them in good situations to succeed, you do, and I think Sheldon's going to be great at that. He's a player-first guy.
Michael McHenry of AT&T Sportsnet with us here on the Fan Morning Show. You mentioned seeking balance, Michael, and I think there's an interesting question about, like I said, with a team that's hitting 170 something, but also a team that very firmly believes and went out and made acquisitions in the offseason believing in defense behind this set of starting pitchers in its rotation in particular. that you've got to decide on any given day. Is it Moran at third, Bell at first, Polanco in right, or which one of these guys is DHing so that we don't have their glove on the field? How you balance the needs of having defense behind these starting pitchers in particular with the need to get the bats going?
You know, it's kind of a catch-22 because you got to see what those three guys are made of at the same time. You know, Bell made an adjustment with his arm. Moran's actually looked really good at third base. He got to a ball early on in the season that I feel like was maybe a step or two quicker than normal. He looks like he's more aggressive at coming to get the ball. He's not letting the ball come to him. And then Polanco, you know, they were raving about him in 2.0, the throws he was making, how he was moving the outfield. I want to see how he does with the first ball that's up against the wall. Is he timid? Is he scared? I mean, that's usually the game changer for a guy that's been, you know, hurt, especially with the shoulder. So seeing those guys play, I think, is really important, especially guys that are going to be in the middle of your lineup probably going forward. So as much as you can get those guys out there, you want to, but you have to definitely have to find that balance. And without the, you know, pitcher hitting, you can always defensively replace any of those guys anytime you want. You can pinch run, so you can get creative to how you're going to get other guys in to play defense.
Mike, I want to ask you about Michael Feliz, because sometimes we saw this in two consecutive starts. Sometimes he looks like he just gets in there and mows guys down and looks like he has the stuff that to potentially be a major league closer. And then the next time out, it's just all over the place, or maybe he's given up home runs. Have you spotted any reason for the inconsistency with him? Because he looks like he's got excellent stuff.
Yeah, I think it's one thing with Feliz is identifying what he's doing well that day. Like he's got this new changeup. It's a great pitch. But if he abuses it, I feel like it opens up the door for a guy to say, okay, well, that slider's kind of out of the mix today. This has been atypical of how he's pitched. It's either I'm going to fall in love with my changeup, I'm going to fall in love with my slider. And then they just wait for that fastball. If he can't throw that one over for strikes, they're just sitting there waiting for that fastball, knowing he's going to go for a high spin thing at the top of the zone. So they just look for that pitch up, because the changeup, if it's not at the bottom of the zone and it's good, you know, guys give up on it immediately. So he's got to play that angle really well. He's got to identify how he uses pitches and not just rely on the catcher. The Pirates have great guys behind the plate, and Stallings and Murph. They're going to lead these guys very well, but it's Feliz having conviction. He said something at the end of the year last year, and it was very positive, but at the same time, it's a little worrisome. He said, I just throw what they tell me to throw. And to me, that's saying, okay, well, let's identify what you're really good at so you have conviction. Even if I call a pitch, I want you to have so much conviction if you want to throw something else and have a reason why. And that's how you get to know yourself, and that's how you really start to grow in the right direction.
He's young, Michael, but Nick Birdie seems to have that conviction already, and I know they want to play it safe with him because he's had two major surgeries in the last three and a half years. But what goes into the thinking, even of a young first-year rookie manager like Derek Shelton, who we know is willing to experiment and try different things? It seems to me that most managers, even the young experimental ones who are willing to get a little crazy and away from the orthodoxy of traditional baseball, have a tough time handing that closer's gig over to a young, unproven guy.
You know, with Birdie, you think about all the adversity he's gone through. He's been relentless. So even though he's young and, you know, game appearances and pitching appearances and major league service time, well, I mean, to be honest, he's going to be right at 3 years probably after this. But, I mean, this guy's got everything you could ask for as a closer. He's calm, cool, collected. Seems like he has ice in his veins. He's been through the ringer, and he's got absolutely disgusting stuff. I mean, I looked at his spin the other day. An average spin rate in the major league is right about 2,400 RPMs. He's at 27. He's up there where Vasquez was when he was a Pirate, which is elite upon elite spin for a four-seam fastball, and not to mention the 99, and then his slider. I mean, we've all seen the swings and the takes on his slider. It's just he's one of those guys God waved a wand over. You don't get every day, and you just want to throw him, you know, out there as much as you can, but you have to protect him too.
Michael, what kind of growth did you see in Mitch Keller in his first start this year from what you had seen a year before?
You know, it really impressed me that he was throwing 92 miles an hour, and he had more confidence than he did last year. I thought the mentality was better. I thought the way he utilized his pitches was better. You know, he knew pretty much how to gauge him and Stallings both that, hey, I don't have the best fastball today, but we're not going to not use it. We're going to continue to use it. And it shows how much better it's playing because he's throwing that four-seamer at the top of the zone, getting swing and misses. I think he had 9 foul balls off the fastball, which is mind-blowing compared to last year, how hard it got hit. I think he got hit at a 478 clip last year. So, I mean, he just looked like a different being out there, and he didn't even have the stuff that I thought he did last year.
Michael McHenry of AT&T Sportsnet with us here on the Fan Morning Show. What do you make of Joe Musgrove seemingly looking really good at times? The numbers look good if you don't look at the home run and the walk columns. And for some reason, you can't remove those categories. But for some reason, it feels like he's pitching a whole lot better than some of those numbers are reflecting.
Yeah, the only thing that's been concerning to me is the walk numbers after that last start. I mean, obviously the home runs hurt him, but he's been good. I still think, and I think it's very hard to maneuver through a game with 6-7 pitches and identifying, okay, this is really good today. This is what I need to, you know, work with, because every time he's pitching to a guy, he's got 3 or 4 pitches that he could possibly throw and they're possibly set up. But what's best that day? Like his last start against the Brewers, his slider is by far his best off-speed pitch, but he still threw 11 changeups, 7 cutters, like 14 curveballs. I mean, this guy was throwing everything still, and it just shows how good his stuff is, but also it can get him in trouble. I think the pitch that he gave up, the homer to a Gamble, wasn't the wrong pitch, but early in the season, guys usually can handle changeups. Later in the season, they can't because their timing is a little bit off, so he almost threw it into his bat speed. But it was so good early on, he wanted to throw it. So he's trying to figure out and identify what he does well on that given day. And as he gets better at that, I think you're going to see a guy mold into a better and better pitcher.
It's scheduled to go tonight in Chicago. His numbers at Wrigley Field are not great. I know some of that obviously has to do with the hitters he's facing, but can there be, did you notice over the course of your career, whether you're a hitter more confident in a certain ballpark or a pitcher that's had trouble in a certain ballpark, how much can that play?
Oh, it can definitely play. There's certain ballparks I didn't see well at. There's certain ballparks that it looks like a beach ball is coming out of there. Like when I played in Philadelphia, I just felt great. I don't know what it was, but it didn't matter who I faced. And after the first time I played there, it was a different ball game for me. I just felt great playing there. I saw the ball well. It didn't matter if Hamill was on the mound, Lee was on the mound. It really didn't matter. But if I went to Detroit, for example, I couldn't see. I felt like I couldn't see the ball well. I felt like every ball I hit either was a dribbler or a long fly ball out. Like I just didn't play well there. I never played well there. I don't even know if I got a hit there. All the games I played there, it was just a tough place for me to play. I felt like the Tiger was literally looking at me from the mound, not an actual human being.
Michael, great stuff as always. We love it when you join us every Friday morning at 9 o'clock. We look forward to the weekend against the Cubs out at Wrigley this weekend. And then Monday and Wednesday, the opportunity to watch you guys side by side, 2 AT&T Sportsnet channels at once, as the Pens will be playing Montreal and the Pirates will be taking on the Twins. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
All right, guys. You too. God bless you.
You as well. Right, Michael McHenry, Michael. The Fort. With us here on the Fan Morning Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.